This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. This is our weekly show. We cover soccer in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Southeast, in the United States, and the rest of the world. It's what we do. We're going to hit all of those places on tonight's show. We're going to talk about teams that might possibly be coming to Atlanta next summer in the 2026 World Cup. We've got a couple squads that have booked a trip. Since we spoke last, we'll talk some more World Cup qualifying. We will talk about some other things going on around the world of soccer, but we're going to start tonight, not with Atlanta United, which is almost how we always start after an Atlanta United match weekend. Not this time, because the U.S. men's national team has taken the top billing in dubious ways. I'm also joined by Madison Cruz this evening, who you've heard on Atlanta United pregame and postgame coverage. What's up, Maddie?
Oh, nothing much. You know, like you said, you know, we're starting with the unfortunate and disappointing run in the Nations League. Everything with the U.S. men's national team, just it's
I believe it is our contractual obligation as hosts in the United States to express our disappointment with how things went in the CONCACAF Nations League. The memos went out and we have to talk about it, so we will. I think a lot of people are tired of talking about it. I think a lot of people are picking their performative outrage that they want to choose here. You know, we could have held up a selfie stick and yelled and screamed and did that. That's what some folks will do. We could have blamed everything from rec departments to pay to play to high school soccer to anything imaginable for these results. And really, what it comes down to is you are in this really weird spot. And I've been trying to kind of synthesize this all day. You're in this weird spot as a national team right now where you're good enough to play a team like Panama, who does not have the same talent level, and will say, okay, we're the underdog here. We're going to sit back. We're going to play a 5-4-1. We're going to defend deep. We're going to dare you to find a way to pick a hole through us. You're probably not, especially on a field that's not 70 yards wide. Again, good job SoFi Stadium for not building a field that's wide enough when you wanted the World Cup. Now you have to take out rows of seats at an expense. Have fun. Good times. Anyway, Panama will sit back and defend and do their thing, and it worked. They had one shot on target. It's the shot that ended up deciding the match. Okay, you're good enough for that to force a team to do that, but you're not good enough in a match against a team that's pretty even with you on talent, like it or not, Canada is. You're not good enough to take care of that business. And you're in this spot that you used to not necessarily be, where you were typically an underdog most of the time. And even when you weren't an underdog, teams still had an arrogance about, it's just the U.S., we can take care of them. That's not the case anymore. So you're good enough to scare teams, but not every team. And you're not good enough to deal with teams that are scared and beat teams that you're even with. And that's a problem, because that's a really hard spot to get out of.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you go back to the game against Panama. I mean, you look at it, and Panama's a great team. They're a hard team to go up against. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had the ability to win it. You had options, you had opportunities, and you just could not find the back of the net. And Panama capitalized. They took advantage, and, you know, they got one. And it's just, you did that. Then it's like, okay, now you're going to the third place game. You're going up against Canada. And you got an opportunity to hopefully try to, you know, regain yourself, get the third place, you know, find the footing. And then you didn't do it there either. It's a disappointing thing. And I mean, I'll kind of quote it to, you know, watching Jillian Sakovic on Golasso as well. You know, it is a mentality thing. A lot of people blamed Berhalter towards the end. And listen, it was Berhalter's time to go, and that was already sent. But I think the way it went out, people blaming him solely for what was happening, I don't think that was fair. And now you're seeing it again under Pochettino, and it's like, what more proof do you need that something needs to change mentality-wise with it? And I also, too, Thierry Henry also said something, too. You know, there was a lot of stuff going around about Christian Pulisic wearing the captain's armband and not acting like a captain and stuff. And Thierry Henry really kind of said, he's like, don't push that role onto him. He might not be the leader that is needed for this team. And I completely agree with him, because I think Christian Pulisic is a player that will fight. And he's a fighter. We've seen that from him. We've seen it from everywhere he's been. He is a phenomenal player, and he's done a great stuff for the U.S. Mm-hmm. But maybe he's not the one to wear the captain's armband. Maybe he's someone who can come in and be that flashy player that we need, but maybe he's not the captain for this team. And something's got to change mentality-wise. Something's got to happen, because personally, the highlights for me in that game were Patrick Ojimond and Diego Luna.
Yeah, and that says a lot about it. Like, I don't have an issue with Christian Pulisic, and nobody should. He's the best player you have. He is Absolutely. your only world-class player at the moment. And sometimes players don't have a great couple of games, and he didn't, and that's okay. Like, I don't have an issue with him. I don't have an issue with Weston McKennie. Tyler Adams had a bad second half against Canada. Tyler Adams is a very important player for this team, and you're going to need him going forward. I feel like where you are, we learned some things in these two games, and that's what you wanted. You wish you were learning these things on the positive side of it, but you're learning them on the negative side. And you've got to deal with a few things. I will remind everybody of my position on Greg Berhalter that I said basically ad nauseum last summer when we were doing these shows after Copa America games. It's not on Berhalter. I would have been fine if they had moved on after the World Cup from him. I thought he did the job there. They needed to get out of the group. They did. They got beat by a better team in the round of 16. He did about what you would expect him to do. You're looking for somebody to do more than the team would be expected to do. And you think that's going to be Mauricio Pochettino. Okay, we'll see. The World Cup wasn't played this weekend. The World Cup is next summer. You need your players to be in better positions next summer. I think what we take away from this, you've got a question at goalkeeper because Matt Turner's not playing consistently right now. He's got to get into a better club situation between now and then. I thought Tony Miola's breakdown of Turner's technique on the Panama goal is one of the best things I've seen on American soccer television. I thought he absolutely nailed it, and it was so clear and so perfectly said that if you've never played goalkeeper in your life, you would still understand it. So good. And it's not saying that Matt Turner is a bad goalkeeper. It's saying that he's not sharp because he's not playing right now. Decision-making a half second off will mean you're in the air and not able to get your foot down to push off with it and make that save. And that's what happened. You got questions about Matt Turner because he needs to play more. You got questions at center back because I don't know who's going to be the center backs when you start the World Cup next summer. I have no idea. I didn't think Cameron Carter-Vickers looked good here. I did not think McKenzie looked necessarily that great here. Austin Trusty was going to play in this. I don't know. Like, I'm not convinced by anybody at center back right now. Fullback, you'll get Anthony Robinson and Sergiño Dest back. You're fine there. Those are the kind of fullbacks you need. You'll have them. You don't have them right now. You got a deal. Your midfield, Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, I'm good. If you want to put Luna in there, I'm playing Luna no matter what. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care if you think he's he's chunky. I don't care if you think that he's not in the best of shape. He is. I don't care if you don't like his swagger. Get over it. Diego Luna's in my team no matter what because he's got a different vibe that this team needs. Patrick Adjumont's in my team right now because Josh Sargent hasn't shown anything with the national team. Valerian Balogun hasn't shown enough with the national team. Ricardo Pepi, I'm okay with seeing some Ricardo Pepi. But Patrick Adjumont at least gives you the ability to, we can't break anything down. We can't get this done. Chunk it up to the big man and let him go fight some people. You have that with him at least. That's something. It's something to fall back on. Pulisic's going to play. I thought Tim Weah worked really hard in these games. I didn't think he was necessarily always good, but I thought he was effective enough that I'm good with it. Yunus Musah, I don't know where to put him right now. Probably have him on the bench because I would play Luna as my 10 in front of two central midfielders. That's kind of what I'm taking away at this point from this team. And it's a pretty good team. Like, it's not bad. They don't stink. It's a pretty good team. But in these kinds of games that you are going to be in the Gold Cup this summer, and you're going to be in the World Cup next summer, being pretty good is not going to cut it. You saw a different level of scrappiness from Panama. You saw a different level of quality in moments from Mexico. You saw definitely a different level of fight from Canada. This team and these players, they want to win. Don't give me that nonsense. This isn't a middle school team that would rather be doing something else and going to the mall. This is a group of professionals that take a lot of pride in playing for this team. But you can do that and still get outworked by a team that is going to sacrifice everything in these games. I think Diego Luna's got that attitude. He's got that vibe. Some other guys do too. Pulisic, McKennie, Adams, they have it. You need more of that. And I'll go back to what you said about the captain thing before, as I've rambled on, and I apologize for that. the captain thing, it sounds a lot like a certain Lionel Messi about 10 years ago, when that was everything that was said in Argentina about Messi wearing the captain's armband was that. He might not be, and Christian might not be that guy right now. He's your best player. A lot of times he's going to get the armband, but he might not be that guy to lead them in that way. And that's okay. He can still have the armband. There's nothing keeping Weston McKennie from talking. There's nothing keeping Cameron Carter-Vickers from talking. There's nothing keeping anybody else from talking. They got to work together. And I think that was the thing. They felt more disjointed than I'd like to see from a U.S. men's national team.
It looked like it was just all out of place, all out of whack. There was no, like you would see flickers of, like, chemistry of what they were able to do. But then, like, it would just fade away. And that, to me, is, like, you look at Diego Luna, you look at Patrick Adjumont, and they brought back that spark. And I don't want to hear, you know, oh, well, they're just MLS players and all that stuff. We've gotten way past that. You look at every other national team now, every single MLS club had a player get called up, one player from every club called up to a national team. Mm-hmm. That says something about the league. And Patrick Adjumand came in, he scored. And Diego Luna brought that fire that I think you need.
You need that fire. You need that grit. And one place that we can talk about that we saw that this weekend was with Atlanta United in Cincinnati. In a game where they were missing a whole bunch of people at international duty and things got kind of weird. Maybe that's the pathway. Maybe the U.S. men's national team should watch how Atlanta United fought through some adversity and some chaos on Saturday. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about how that match went and maybe a little bit of the takeaways from that one as well. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.